Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this awesome time that we're in. We thank you for your protection upon all of us, Lord, and all of your chosen. Seems like things are fixing to ramp up, Lord. We've had a couple of mighty big hurricanes come through, and we know about the prophecies that after the hurricanes comes earthquakes. And Lord, we thank you for your protection upon all your chosen. And Father, that you have them placed exactly where you want them, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the times that we're in is going to be awesome times ahead. The anointing of the man-child and the anointing of the bride, Lord. And then the discipleship of everything that in the tribulation, Lord. We look forward to seeing your work, Lord, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the supernatural things of God happening all over, Lord. Thank you for your supernatural protection as well. We know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we shall have it. We pray in the will of God. We want and desire and long to be led completely by your Spirit, Lord. And we thank you that you're doing that. We thank you, Father, that we are being led by the Spirit so that we can all become sons of God, as your word says. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for tonight's meeting, Lord, that your blessings be upon it, your anointing be upon everybody to speak whatever it is, Lord, that's on their mind, that you have placed on their mind, to be a revelation and an encouragement to everybody here, or a warning. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got any prayer requests?
Yeah, I was thinking it was a prayer request I had, but then I remembered what it was, and it's too late for it now.
The event has come and gone, huh?
That was it. It was. We were going to pray for Trump's Mar-a-Lago or whatever it was, his facility that didn't get harmed or anything, but you know that's already gone and passed.
So. Well, I suspect we prayed for it, actually.
Right. I figured that.
We prayed for it, yeah. Praise God. I didn't know that. I hadn't heard anything about it. So it came out unharmed, huh?
I think it's got a little water around it, but I don't know what else to say about that other than pictures I saw.
Yeah.
But certainly didn't get wiped off the map the way those the witches were trying to curse it and all that stuff. I think that's probably where that part of the reason why Irma took that quick left and went up the west side of Florida was it wasn't going on up the east side. You know.
Yeah, probably so. Thank you, Lord.
Answering those prayers were answered for that.
Yeah. Have they gotten a total yet of the people that died in that hurricane, or was there any?
Oh, I think there have been, definitely. I know there's been some deaths. I've seen in the 20s. But I think that's including what's going up in what's above Florida too. So.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, I know.
But even then, think about it, that's a pretty low number.
Yeah. As they said it was going to be, and then of course we saw it go down just almost immediately upon landfall.
I mean, God was very merciful. He did. Yeah. He made his point, and I actually have some scripture on that. I sent it to David this morning. I was because I was thinking, well, wow, what's this? You know, kind of like the morning after kind of a thing. You got that effect, you know, the morning after, you know, kind of think things over. And he gave this to me this morning. I'll read it. It was like, oh, okay. It gave me a little bit to talk to people at work it's more for getting the Christians in line with what's coming, you know, basically. He gave me Job 28:20, but it goes really from 28:20 all the way to the end. And he says, I'll correct some of this language. I won't make it the King Jamie type. It's ASV, but this is, where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? See, it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the birds of the heaven. Destruction and death say, we have heard a rumor thereof with our ears. God understands the way thereof, and he knows the place thereof. To make a weight for the wind, yes, he metes out the waters by measure. When he makes a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning and the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He established it, yes, and searched it out. And the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So, you know what, we just seen some pretty neat things go through here. Not neat, but the power of the Lord just being manifest in front of our eyes with Irma and Harvey. And he controlled the rain, he controlled the thunder, he controlled that wind, he controlled the water, where it was going to go. And now he's saying, okay, everybody pay attention. Now, this is the fear of the Lord. You know, you better understand, I'm doing these things. I control this. And this is wisdom to get this understanding. And now it's time to depart from evil. That's even more so what I'm trying to get you to do here. So he's just starting to knock the door. You know, I brought up to my kids even tonight, you know, this is what he did when he was getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought these judgments in. Well, initially, the children of Israel shared those judgments, just like they're sharing these too. But he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get everybody's attention. What's going on? So, anyways, that's just what I had today.
Amen.
I can't beat a baby.
You can't compete with the baby, can you?
No.
Well, that's entirely true. We see these things lining up already. You know, before tribulation starts, there's earthquakes. And, gosh, what'd they have, an 8.2 down there in Mexico the other day, plus a number of fives and fours and what have you. That if you saw a map I saw today, showed a reverberation all the way across the United States from that 8.2. I don't know how they do that, but anyway, they showed a reverberation of it. So, you know, God's wrapping things up, it looks like. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe we're going to see something here shortly. I certainly am praying that God would, that the anointing of the man child would come real quick, you know, like the 23rd. Not saying that's when it's going to happen, but boy, it'd be nice. It'd line up with everything else, you know, that's already there. What are you doing your eyebrows like that for, Matt? I saw you doing it.
I was talking to Ova.
Oh, okay. Judy, you ain't eating macaroni and cheese. I know you ain't sitting there eating macaroni and cheese. No, okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Jackie.
May I share a testimony?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My brother asked me to share that with everybody, and thank you all for praying and agreeing with him. I have to find on my text. He went to Gainesville and then didn't feel peace about that. So his one son was going to Orlando, so then they switched and the family went to Orlando. But he was kind of apprehensive, and he sent me this text that he was trusting and the Lord, and he was saying how my mom, who was a believer, could instill faith into us. I was looking for his text that he sent to give you the word, because it was in Psalm 3, I think. But he said my mom had instilled faith in us and that he always had faith in Jesus, but now was the time to prove it. You know, you can say you have faith, but are you going to believe? And he said he just entered into this rest, and I can't find his text right now, but it was in Psalm 3. And he said he went to try to find a church because he felt apprehensive and he wanted to go to a church. Everything was closed in Orlando, so he went in front of some kind of faith gospel church, and he prayed in the parking lot, and he said, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need a word. And he flipped open his Bible and put his finger down, and he texted us a picture of himself with his finger on the word, and he's like, no joke, this is what it came on. And it was in the third psalm about he would lay down and be in peace, and the Lord would awake him safely in the morning. And he was like, I can't believe this. And I was like, praise the Lord, you know. And he was witnessing to my other family, and they were, you know, interjecting comments here and there. Well, anyway, my brother said that night he went to bed, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep on the floor, and he slept through the storm. He didn't hear any of it. And when he woke up in the morning, he was like, oh, wow, I haven't slept that good in a long time. So then he didn't really get the correlation of the verse he got. He just felt peace about it. So when he called me, like, the next day to tell me he was okay, I was like, Randy, read that verse, you know, the Lord gave you. And he read it, and he's like, oh, my. And I was like, that's exactly what you did. You lay down, you know, slept peacefully. And I said, you woke up safely. And so he was praising God, and he just, he said he was praying for no destruction. Sorry, that's my dog. But he was praying for no destruction or anything, and at his house, and they drove home, and we were praying for that. I was praying with some brethren, and I hadn't even thought about that, and I was believing for my little nephew, Fish, because when he left, he kind of, his heart was sad, and then my brother overheard him, and he was praying for his Fish, and he said, you know, I love you guys. I hope to see you again. You take care. And so I was praying to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, he said, if I pray and I believe, I can have it. And I said, I'm really believing for Ian's Fish. I said, I know it sounds silly with all this destruction and devastation, but it would just mean so much if you could preserve Fish. So I prayed, and I told my nephew, and my brother went home, and he called, and he was so humbled. He was, like, choked up, and he's like, not a drop of water got in their house. They didn't have any damage at all. Praise the Lord. Like, everything was good. He said the little bit of screen around their pool had some damage on it from the wind, and he expected that. And then he called me today, and he said, I have another testimony. And I was like, what? And he said he had put storm shutters up, or the hurricane shutters, before he left, but I guess they came with the house, but there wasn't enough for three of the bedroom windows, and he didn't put them on, and that's the one room where the Fish was, and like nothing came into the room or anything, but they came home and they have no power, and he said it was really hot, and he said Ian was like happy, and he said, look, you know, Dad, we don't have shutters on these windows, so we can open the windows and at least we can sleep in here and get some fresh air, because my brother had to get somebody to help him because it's really high up on his house and he doesn't have a ladder that high, and he said, you need two men like to hold them because they're heavy. So they were rejoicing in that too, that they got to sleep in a room that had a window that you can open. So he's just really humbled, and his faith was just built immensely from it. And I believe he received a miracle. And right down the street, a diner they go to was completely flattened. I mean, it didn't survive at all. And my brother is partial owner to a business of a restaurant. And there was a little bit of minor damage to the sign outside, but nothing else. So he's just excited. And he said, please, like, he called me a couple of times and said, please thank all your prayer friends, you know, for praying for me and my family. He said, you know, God really came through, and he's just amazed. He's just amazed. And he's realizing he didn't need to be in a church, that, you know, he was in the car with the Lord, and the Lord spoke volumes to him without, you know, having to sit inside a building with false doctrines and stuff. So I'm believing he's going to come on here soon someday and share it. So thank you.
Well, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I want to share that. It looks like it's going to be Psalms chapter, what'd you say, 3?
Either 3 or 4. I think it was 3.
It's 3. 3, verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustaineth me. Is that what he got?
Exactly. Yeah, and the version he got, it came out, "The Lord awakes me and saves thee." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And he said, out of all the Bible, and I said, I told you, Randy, I said, just, you know, you just have to believe. And she just put, you know, he said he prayed that way and put his finger down, and I was just amazed. And he's like, he texted to my whole family. He's like, no joke, my finger went down on this.
Well, praise God.
Before the storm came.
Yeah, now he knows that God can talk to him, doesn't he?
Amen.
Amen,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, the Lord's drawing him through this, so I'm happy.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayers. I'm believing with my brother.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, all right. Anybody else? I'd like to go ahead, Willie. I'll go after you.
I have a weird small testimony about faith that the Lord showed me. I got off the bus and I was walking. Forgive me, my voice is hoarse, so I sound strange. Like I'm choking a duck in my throat. Forgive me.
No, you're not, in Jesus' name.
So I got off the bus and I was walking home. And suddenly it entered into my imagination. I was thinking, you know, what if a neighbor's dog came out of, you know, out of nowhere and it was a pit bull and it decided to attack me? And so I imagined the pit bull being white and brown. And I said, well, if my arms are folded, it won't think of attacking my arms. It'll probably go for my book bag. That's sticking out the furthest. And I said, it'll probably just, you know, rip my book bag off of me and just start gnawing at my book bag. And no sooner did I answer the question and imagine the whole experience, I must have came upon the second house and I heard this woof. It was a it wasn't a bulldog, it was a pit bull that I imagined. And no sooner than, you know, I got to the second house, there was this black pit bull right in the middle of the parking lot. And I looked at it, and it was, you know, God had it, you know, tied up. Because I was, like, nowhere on the property, but that was one of those dogs that will bark at you, even if you're two houses down. So I'm pretty sure if it wasn't tied up, you know, my book bag would have been gnawed. But that wasn't the thing that the Lord was trying to show me. You know, how quickly did God answer the faith of fear? But, you know, he was showing me something, you know. Look how you put your faith into it. You fully imagined this was going to happen to you. And you answered the question that was addressed to you in fear. And no more than two houses down, there's a black pit bull tied up, barking at you. I was like, you know what, guys, you're right. It's amazing how quickly we are able to have faith and fear. But when it comes to those things that are good, they are so far from us. You know, the Lord corrected me with that little thing. I just thought it was a neat tidbit. I just wanted to share it with that because I thought it was kind of cool.
Amen. Yeah, that was real cool. Thank you, Lord. Amen. One time I had a dog come at me in a parking lot down in Memphis. Big old, I'm talking about a 150-pound dog or better, coming right at me across the parking lot, loping, like that, you know, coming right at me. About 3 o'clock in the morning, boo, boo. And I said, what in the world? And he kept loping, man, ka-toom, ka-toom, ka-toom. You've seen them cartoons, haven't you? And I said, and when he got about 100 foot from me, I wasn't going to let him get no more than 100 foot. I said, in the name of Jesus, you stop and go right back where you came from. That dog slammed on his brakes, his feet, just like a cartoon character, went in under his front feet, and he came to a screeching halt, and he got up and turned around and went right back where he came from. And the Lord spoke to me. I had been out Memphis in May, been evangelizing, and got scared out there because there's some evil spirits out there. And the Lord said, that's the same authority that I've given you over all the power of the enemy. Don't be scared. I'm there. And I wasn't scared anymore after that. And you look, through the years, I've never been scared of much at all about anything. You know, I was always a... But I was scared that day because these two young men had come up to me and they had demons on them big as Texas fan. I'm going to tell you, I saw the demons. They were big and bad and they were murderous. And I said, oh, I need to back right on out of here, boy. I'm going to tell you, I was talking to one of them and the other one was going around behind him. He was circling around and he was going like this, you know, this man like that right there. And I said, what in the world? He was on dope. But that demon was manifested in him, and it was a murdering demon. I said, okay, it's time for me to get on out of here. And that's when I went back and told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I'm going to be this scared, I ain't got no business out there. And that's when he showed me about the dog. And I wasn't scared after that. I wasn't scared at all after that. I knew the Lord was with me. But, yeah, them old dogs can be intimidating. This wasn't a pit bull, though. This is just a great big old solid white long-haired dog. I don't even know what kind it was. It wasn't what's the one with the keg under its throat? It wasn't one of them. It was another kind. But anyway, that's my experience with them.
Saint Bernard.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a Saint Bernard, but it was big as a Saint Bernard or bigger. Great big old dog. Anyway, praise God. We got dominion over all of them, don't we, Willie? We ain't got to worry about them dogs. We ain't got to worry about them spirits either. Praise God. I got a prayer request that y'all believe with me. Tomorrow night, I arranged with a local preacher that I met some years ago for Blake to give his testimony at a tent meeting that they have over in another town. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you anoint Blake to speak the words that you'd like for him to speak, Lord, that would affect everybody there, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you have a lot of kids there that are thinking about dope or have been using dope, Lord, and that this would change their lives. And also, Lord, it would encourage Blake. And I thank you for the work that's going to get done tomorrow night. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to pray about or testimony or praise report? Yeah, go ahead, Leo. What, let me unmute you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I could really use some prayer tonight. This weekend I pretty much fell apart, and I think maybe it'd be a good time to just confess before you guys. And I had a real rough time. I pretty much lost it emotionally, spiritually. I got really down, really upset, really frustrated with life, and just also even got to the point where I even blamed God and was upset with the Lord, and completely useless, fruitless, very foolish thing to do. I even broke my fast. I got so frustrated. You know, it's been real tough. You know, the Lord's working really hard on my character, and I'm a very stubborn person, I guess. So I'd like to confess that.
Okay.
And so you guys could all just lift me up in prayer and ask the Lord for victory. Yep. I had you know, anger come over me, frustration. Maybe there's, I don't know, maybe there's unforgiveness towards my kids, maybe. I'm not even sure what's going on. I just know that I'm having a hard time. And today, I was convicted and I took up my fast again. I repented before the Lord and I said, you know, it's not right for me to do that. It was very foolish. You know, no patience, getting in the flesh, you know, just getting frustrated and, you know, throwing it back at God like that and saying, you know, well, where are you, you know? But God never left me. I know that. And so that's where I'm at tonight. Could really use some prayer.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for Leonard, and we thank you for his honesty, Lord. And you heard his confession, and he's repented, and he's asked for your forgiveness, Lord. And we know that you've already forgotten it, and we command any condemnation now to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. Any bitterness, go in the name of Jesus. Any anger, all the spirits of anger, go from him right now in Jesus' name. Frustration, go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for giving him a touch. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord, for placing joy in his heart. No matter what the situation is, Father, just a steadfast joy that only being in touch with you can give us, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the encouragement with bold faith, Lord. That when he knows, that when he prays, that he's going to receive what he prays, because that's what your word said. He said in John 14:14, when you pray in my name, you shall have it. And that just means that we're standing instead of you. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're standing just like you, Lord. And you're teaching us all to have patience and to long suffering, you said. And that works out that character of Jesus in each one of us, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we're all on that road. And I thank you, Father, that you're placing that overcoming power in Leonid to overcome these trials that you've placed him in, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. Because we know that you're more powerful than anything that comes around us. Matter of fact, Lord, you put these trials up there to do one thing, and that's to get rid of these old flesh that we like to dwell in a lot of times, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I come against any hard-headedness. I come against any stubbornness in Jesus' name and command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you that from this point on, Lord, that he's going to have a long-suffering character and patience. Amen. And showing the love of Christ to everybody in his family so that they learn what it is to walk like you, Father. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray, go right ahead.
Again, thank you, Father, for allowing Leonard to feel comfortable to come and talk and share his frustration with his flesh with us, and help him renew his strength in you, Father, because we know that all things come from you, good and bad. At the same time, it's not meant to take and put us on our cross in the sense that he's trying to hurt us as much as, Father, you're just trying to help us out, help us overcome the flesh. And by doing that, you let us go through these trials, but you're not trying to condemn us. That's not from you. You're trying to help us grow up and be united in faith and look at you at the cross and realize it's you. It's by your righteousness, Father, that we come and come in boldness of faith. It's not by our righteousness. We get our righteousness from you. So, Father, thank you for giving us that ability to come to you in boldness and ask for forgiveness and renew our strength in you in the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for being there alongside us, being our Savior and on our side. Because we can do all things for you, because Christ, you strengthen us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I believe. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I'll give a testimony for you, Leonard. Here you go. I was keeping it to myself, but you said that, and I said, well, okay, I got to tell you then. Because last Tuesday, I wasn't on a conference call. Well, hey, man, here comes another hurricane, and Harvey's just got over, and another one's on the way, and I better get some gas because it's starting to go up, and I just got on my phone, and, oh, I still got a gas station across town. I can get, I'm using the 85 in my truck, you know. I can get a gallon of gas for $1.67 if I hurry over there now. I'm on it, you know. I'm going to be diligent, and I'm going to save some money, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm doing it, you know, after work. Over there, and, well, of course, you know, E85 gas, there's only a couple pumps. Of all these pumps there, there's only a couple of them. So I'm trying to jockey around to get in there because there's everybody at this gas station. And I finally have to go around the other side of the, to get in to come in behind somebody. When they pull out, they're going to go. Sure enough, this person pulls out, and this old man pulls in right in front of me. And I just have been waiting for 10 minutes, and he pulls right up. I go, what is that? And the minute I did that, man, my truck started to miss. So I backed up. I'm keeping my foot on the gas now a little bit to keep it running. Finally get in there, and, of course, I got to pull in next to him because the next pump that came open was on the side of him. So I pull in, I shut it down. He comes over, hey, I'm sorry. I really didn't see you there. I didn't mean to do that. I said, that's fine. Because I knew right away I was under the Lord's judgment. My minute I did that, my truck started missing. And I was like, you know, immediately, oh, I was wrong. I lost my patience. I should have kept my mouth shut. I didn't have to do that Italian thing. What is this? You know, because I lost it. And not mad, but just kind of like, huh? Well, it was the whole point, you know, and if you're God's son and you're going to carry the name, well, how long goes that with some responsibility? And he was right there to, And it's not like he's trying to ding you and hurt you, but he let me know real quick. Oh, no. No, you're held to a little different standard now, Dave. So here I am. I get home trying to work on my truck all that night. That's why I wasn't on a conference call. I mean, I didn't get done till about 10 after 10 trying to figure things out. I got a new coil. I put new spark plugs in, new wires. Nothing's working. And getting on YouTube, trying to figure out what's going on with my truck, thinking, oh, man, one guy says, well, it could be a dead cylinder. I said, well, that's it. I'm done with this truck. I'm not putting a new engine in. It's not worth it. So I drove it the next day, and then I finally took it into one of the guys I have work on it. And I said, you know, this is what everything I did. And he says, well, you did everything right. What we would have did, I says, I don't know where I'm at this point. I says, do a compression check for me. Just tell me it's a bad cylinder. If it is, I'm done with the truck. I said, as much as I like, you know, he says, well, it's a nice truck. I says, yeah, I know. You know, so just a Ford, you know, this is a Ford Ranger. So they end up finding it having a bad fuel injector. But still, by the time they replace it and their costs and everything, it was about $400, you know, with the labor and everything. And I thought, oh, so it was like, so that's why I came in Thursday, and Michael says, Dave, you're a little quiet. Yeah, I'm a little tired. But about that time, all that time, I kind of been beating myself up with this, you know, and like I should have kept my cool. I should have done better, Lord, and I'm repenting, and, you know, but still it wasn't going away. That heaviness was there, you know, and that feeling. And it wasn't, you know, until about Friday, Saturday, I figured, so, you know, I got the Lord got me thinking enough where I could think straight a little bit more and not beat myself up so much, thinking, you know, why am I feeling this? What is this feeling? This oppression kind of thing. And I realized it's a spirit of guilt because, you know, I was reading through Romans and you forget that, well, there is no condemnation those in Christ Jesus. Not if you're not really walking in sin. Not if you're just totally, you know, reprobate. You're going to make mistakes, sure. But, you know, once you confess your sin and get right with the Lord, I mean, it's over. It's done. But if there's something still there, pushing you around. Well, it's not the Lord doing it. It's us. There's something else there coming on us that we have to take control of and to cast off. And so we have to remind ourselves that the grace is there. The grace is always there. The forgiveness is there. The renewing is there. But if something's holding us back from that, it's not the Lord. There's something else there. It's an attack from Satan. It's a spiritual attack what you're experiencing. And that's another thing the Lord. Not only did he want me to work on my little thing, which I don't normally do, but I did then because I just kind of got anxious, because we all get anxious. He wanted you to experience, along with me, the spiritual warfare we've got. And sometimes when we're going through this fast, you have more of an intensity of these warfares will come on you all of a sudden, because Satan's looking to attack and go after you, because he knows if you're going to gain some victory, you're going to get something in you that's going to take out his kingdom. He's looking to take you out however he can. I mean, he can use condemnation and guilt. He will, because that's a very effective tool. Takes away your faith, because I was finding, again, where I didn't feel comfortable with, you know, maybe if I had to talk about the Lord, and all that was starting to leave me. But it's just because of he can take away your faith with condemnation, and take away your feeling you don't have grace. Well, he's kind of taking you out of the game. He's setting you on the sidelines. So be careful of that. It might have been you went through some spiritual warfare, and God let you experience some of these things about yourself so you can get more control of what's going on. But it's not God to condemn you and hold you down. That's Satan's job. That's what he's doing. Again, you're learning at the back end now of spiritual warfare, what you got to go against, like I did. So just wanted to share that.
Amen. All right, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Dave, did you get your truck fixed?
Yeah, it was only $400.
You should have prayed for it.
I did, but at the time I was feeling condemnation.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was thinking, oh, well, here's the name of Jesus, but I did wrong. You know, it just was that war was going on, you know.
Right. I understand. That's all I wanted, Michael.
All right. Amen. Go ahead, Willie.
All right. What's going on, Leonard? one of the things and tools that Satan used to use against me all the time is and I never realized it. He used to push me around all the time to keep the faith in my own strength. Gotta keep the faith. You ain't doing it right, you know. He would always push me around. He would be like that bully that would meet me every day after school, you know, and push me around. So, you know, I got distracted in trying to keep the faith in my own strength. The love of Christ is to set us free, you know, from everything, you know, all fear, you know, all doubt, issues, problems, you know, everything, you know, the love of Christ, you know, is magnificent, far beyond our understanding. You know, if I stand guilty of anything, it is truly not asking God enough for the love of Christ. And that's what we really need. We genuinely need the love of Christ. You know, the love of Christ will activate the sovereignty of God over our lives. You know, you have so much rest in, you know, leaving the dependency of your family unto him. You know, the love of Christ will fill you with, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, in order to bring forth fruit unto God. You have every right word to say to your family. You know, the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know, will empower you, you know, to do what's right. You know, I had to ask God, you know, you're going to have to help me fast. Because it's not in me to want to fast, period. You're going to have to help me love my children. Because there's some of my children I don't love and I'm not pleased with. And, you know, I'm disappointed with. And I had to ask God, you know, to give me love for my children. You know, I looked at my children, you know, as I looked at my own personal failures in life. You know, and you know, I put that on them. But I just wanted to share, you know, I've been working on the one thing, you know, that God wants the most out of us. You know, he'll take care of gifts. He'll take care of healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, opening the eyes of the blind, you know, but he wants, you know, the sovereignty of, you know, the love of Christ reigning in you. Well, you know, I don't know how to do that. You ask him for it. You know, you talk to God like a man, straight up, you know, like your friend, like the person you would most go to tell someone what's on your heart, what's on your mind. This is what you've been going through. This is how you've been feeling. The minute you try to exercise the gospel, you know, after your own strength, you know, you got to ask God to help you to surrender everything to him. That's going to take prayer time, you know, praying time, you know, crying out to him. I'm not saying you didn't do it. I'm not convicting you of anything. I'm just speaking on, you know, things I need to do as well. You know, I asked the Lord before I spoke to you. I don't want to speak to you in a way where, you know, I'll feel puffed up after that. I said I want it to be something for myself before I speak to you.
Well,
that's
right.
What I seek that the most, you know. You know, Satan likes to punk us, you know, to see if we're going to hold on to the faith, and that's not the way it works. You know, Christ, you know, 40 days, you know, in the wilderness, you know, at his weakest state, you know, turned to the word of God. But it took up 40 days of prayer, you know. He was praying. He was fasting. And then, you know, when the adversary came, you know, he was a Christian. You know, where's God? Is he at all in any of your thoughts? I bet you got to try hard, you know, just to try to keep the faith, don't you? Your own strength, you know, ain't getting you nowhere. This is how Satan would talk to me. You know, and then I would try harder to keep the faith. You know, and I would then sin more. And then I would, you know, repent and feel condemnation and, you know, guiltiness and a lack of worth and just, you know, defeated. There were so many torments, you know, when I was trying to put my own strength into keeping the gospel and not allowing the gospel to keep me. But I just wanted to share that. And I just hope that it helps you out. Because I'm still needing. I'm still in great need. I still need to seek God for those things.
Amen.
And I got to take off, but I'll be back soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Willie. I want to pray for Blake right quick. I don't think it's anything to worry about, but he's been gone since about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and he's been telling me he's with this family that he'd been witnessing to, the 16-year-old. But I don't know, and I want the Lord to bring him on home. I told him to come on home, and he says he's out looking for a child that ran away, and I don't know. I've heard all of this stuff before. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you give me bold faith to believe that you are protecting him, that you are getting him, giving him, getting him in that place he needs to be, Father. And I don't know what's going on out there. He tells me, that he's with this family, that he's ministered to this 16-year-old son. Now the other child has run away, and he's out helping, looking for him. And it just doesn't sound right, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you get him home. You get him home, Lord. Send your angels out there to bring that boy home in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And I thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I want to have faith for Blake, but we've been through a lot with him and his brother. And I believe that he had all of these experiences. I know that he's been set free from the addiction, but this is some of the same stuff that I've had before, where, you know, that excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And so y'all have to help me here. I want to believe the boy. I really do. I want to give him as much leeway as I can, but then again, I don't want to give him too much. And y'all just believe with me, okay? And that's as far as I want to go with it. And I just want the boy home. Amen.
Absolutely.
But all right. Has anybody else got anything they want to say? I'm sorry, I had gotten another phone call from somebody else, my family. They know better than to call me now, but just one of those things. Okay, where are we at? Lynn, did you feel better?
I do, thank you, brother.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hope he gave us encouragement there.
Yeah, amen. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to pray about or testimony? You know, the thing about people is when they you lose trust in them, they have to earn that trust back. Pretty much, you know, and we always want to believe the best in everybody. But there again, you know, when you've been hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt and time again, those things creep back in. That unbelief comes back in sometimes. And that's where brothers and sisters come in handy, because you can help out, you see, with your prayers as well. So I believe God's going to bring him right on back. He's going to be fine. Amen. Okay. I don't remember what the subject was for tonight. Does anybody? Leon says I was supposed to have a subject and send it out, and I failed to do that. We'll just have a potpourri. How's that? Yeah, Leon.
I don't know if you're versed enough to do this, but would you like to talk about that September 23rd sign in the stars?
I'm not. That's something David would have to do. I'm not that versed on it. That I never was into the stars that much, you know, and I know David's done a little study on them.
How about anybody else?
I can tell you what I know, and that is that in the stars on the 23rd, that the woman is going to give birth to the child at that time, and that things line up, Jupiter, some other things that line up right there that shows that at that time. And of course, then you've got the dragon down there that's sitting there waiting on too. And that's all I know. That's it.
Okay.
That'd be something that you need to listen to David on some of his broadcasts. He's covered that pretty good in the past. Man's got a couple of years on me in the Word. Bunch of years. All right. Somebody asked last week, I believe it was Ken, I believe, asked about the 240 years that are missing out of the Jewish calendar. Y'all remember that? Well, I found out. I went down there. I said, this might stump David. I said, this is going to stump him. I bet it stumps him. So I asked him. I said, now, According to the Jewish calendar, this is 5777. Now, it's supposed to be 6,000 already. Now, tell me what happened to them other years. You know, and he sat there and he... Well, and then he went on, he told me where they went to. Now, I forgot, so y'all just have to believe me that somebody somewhere along the way did it for one reason, and that is to make sure that Jesus' birth did not line up with the Jewish calendar. That's simplistically what he told me. So go ahead, Leon.
I think he was talking about a bar. I don't know what the guy's name was. The bar Jonah, Save Jonah, Bar Jonah Rebellion, where they thought that this guy was the Messiah. And putting Jesus aside, but this Bar Jonah was the Messiah. And they changed their calendar to fit him in properly. So that was funny.
But they definitely didn't want Jesus in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Anyway, you can go on Wikipedia and look it up, too. It's in there and other places. There's all kinds of explanations about where it went. And the one David gave was just one of them. There's three or four different versions of what happened. And it's all Hebrew to me. I can't understand it. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like? You want to talk about something, Missy? You want to pray about something?
I was just kind of chuckling. You said it's all just Hebrew to me, and I'm like thinking, well, I would have said it's all Greek, but anyway.
Well, okay.
Anyway. As a matter of fact, I texted my sister-in-law today, today or yesterday, anyway. She said that I asked her about her sister and parents and how they're doing, and she said that they're fine. They're still in Charlotte. North Carolina is where they're staying because, you know, they evacuated Florida. And she said that apparently her sister has a condo and a house, and that a neighbor stayed behind and said that both of them are okay. And I asked her when they think they'll be going back, and she said in a few days, because apparently there's still like some floodwaters that are hindering their route. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, Lord, that's not good that they're going back, but Lord put it in her heart. So I want you all to agree with me that Lord put it in Cherry's heart that she needs to get out of Florida. Just want to leave Florida, Lord. However you do it, dream, whatever, just put it in her heart, Lord, to know that she needs to leave and take her parents and not live there anymore, Lord. Ask in Jesus' name. Thank you for watching over them and keeping them, and thank you, Lord. Even if you have to have an angel, go and visit her and say, hey, girl, you need to move. So, Lord, just believing and trusting that you're going to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with it, Lord, that she's going to move in the name of Jesus. Well, I have a question. Can anybody explain to me what the man child is? I had that question posed to me today. Anybody know? Can give me a definition of what the man child is, this ministry that's coming upon us here. Just anybody. Not everybody at once now. Okay, go ahead.
Jesus coming in fully into the first fruit, man child, and they walked the earth and see the miracles of Jesus and I guess teach the bride, the true disciples.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close. It's a corporate body within the church, right? The first fruits that have the full word manifested in them, in their spirit. In other words, they've died to the flesh and they've separated from the world. It's the first fruits that have fully manifested Christ in their life. That's what the man child is. And the man child's job, as most of you probably already know, is to disciple the bride to come into that full manifestation as well. And then, of course, the bride's job is to what? Disciple the new believers, right? That are coming in. And the rest of the church, so to speak. But the man child is, what is that word? Parousia? Epiphany. It's an epiphany. They are an epiphany, which means coming in, Jesus coming in human form again through his people. Through his people. Jesus coming in his people, fully manifested in his people. And God's going to anoint that first fruits ministry before tribulation starts. That part I know. And because the man child then leads the bride into tribulation, leads the church into tribulation. Now that man child ministry will also ordain the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors. They'll anoint the apostles, and the apostles will appoint the rest of them. That's his job. Just like Jesus walked on earth, that's what the man-child ministry is. They are going to be Jesus walking on earth. Only there's going to be a corporate body of them all over the world. Now, I don't know if it's going to be 144,000 or 500,000. I don't know, but we seem to think that it might be just 144,000. But you know, that's a big responsibility. And the only way that you can, the man child will be brought forth is through faith. Through faith, their faith to believe that they're going to be in the man child. And the only way you're going to be in the bride is your faith to believe that you're going to be in the bride. Now, it's a special place. That bride is a special place, as is the man child. There's not, after the tribulation starts, there's not going to be anybody else in the bride. No one else. And as far as the man child goes, that's only going to be men in the man child ministry. Any questions? That seed that the man child will have in him is going to be sown through the bride, corporate body of the bride. And of course, they will then in turn disciple other believers to mature in Christ, you know. And it's going to be, David seems to think that there's going to be more than one first, there's going to be a second fruits man-child ministry. I don't know, you know, I don't know how all that's going to work, but I do know that there's going to be one first fruits ministry, and then a second, David says there's going to be a second fruits ministry that'll be the witnesses going out as a man-child. They'll be fully manifested as Jesus, you know. And of course, they'll be just like Jesus. They'll go out and some of them will be martyred. Maybe most of them, I don't know. Some of them will be martyred, but it won't be until after their ministry, just like John the Baptist, just like all of them. You know, they're not going to be martyred until after their ministry, how long or however short it is. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to think the understanding how this, some of this works with what David just said, too. I mean, it sounds like, and we've heard this before, it's just going to be a repeat of what we saw in, inside of the Gospels and the Book of Acts, right? Essentially, you're going to have Jesus fully manifested in a man, or a group of men. They're going to fully manifest Christ, in a sense. Not that they're going to be Jesus, but they're going to be as much as Jesus as we can have today, walking on the earth, mm-hmm. without actually Jesus doing it himself. And they're going to be the 100% fruit at this point, or we're going to see a manifest in Jesus Christ. And they're going to bring the ministry of Jesus Christ back to the earth. And again, I guess what we can expect to see is, just like the day when Jesus was here, not everybody received the ministry. Not everybody received that witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have people come in into the ministry. Into this new discipleship of the end time ministry, which is, again, the renewal of the gospel. The word's going to be preached. It's going to be the truth. And it's going to bring people back in the image of Jesus. And there's going to be those that are going to reject that also. And after his ministry is over, again, you're talking about now our second fruits would be kind of like now we've got what would be this, the man child creating apostles and, or, you know, having more of the ministry spread out again with more people doing the same thing, that second fruits, in a sense, just like we see in the Gospels with the apostles, and then them creating elders and everything else along with it if they have to along the way. But it's just going to be a repeat of the scriptures of the Book of Acts and Gospels, in a sense. And at the same time, like you're saying, when the second wave of these manifested apostles come through, then we'll start seeing also probably the persecution and the church going through the suffering that they did, like in the Book of Acts, in a sense. Does that kind of help a little bit, or is that kind of square?
Yeah, that's some of it right there. The man-child ministry will be persecuted by the church primarily. By the church himself, that's the apostate church. They will be trying to kill them because they're taking away their people, because people see the signs and the wonders, just like in Jesus' time. And people's going to flock to them. And they're going to flock to the people that where they're preaching the word and signs and wonders are following. It's going to be miracles like we've never seen before in a supernatural way. People are going to be translated back and forth to safety. People are going to be just all kinds of good stuff. You know, I can't imagine. But there's also going to be a tremendous anointing for repenting revival. I don't know if y'all, I've studied revivals in the past a lot. And there's one that they call the repenting revival. That's what happened in the New Hebrides back in whenever it was, 1950, I believe it was. They had a repentance revival. And people would just, the power of God would just come on them. And they'd hit their knees and start repenting. I'm talking about drunks and prostitutes and all kinds of nasty, evil people would drop to the knees and cry out to God, and a lot of them, these evil people became God's people and ministers and preachers of the gospel, and it's, you know, and that's what happens. But it comes through prayer. It comes through prayer. And that's one of the things that I saw by reading the history of a lot of those revivals. It came through fervent prayer, and that's what's happening today, is people are praying for this revival that's fixing to happen, I believe. And it's going to be one of repentance and people seeing the signs and wonders, and they're going to come out of those old dead churches, and they're going to come over to where Christ is, and they're going to be blessed, you know. Praise God. because we need it, man. There's some stuff going on out there that is unbelievable in the churches. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, this repentance you're talking about, revival that's like the John the Baptist, is there before the man child, because that John the Baptist was before the Lord started his ministry, is there still an even greater, I mean, we know that there is a repentance going on, but it's is it going to be something greater even before the man child is anointed?
I think the John the Baptist ministry, and I think David believes this too, is that it's going on even as we speak. The John the Baptist ministry is to declare the coming of Jesus. That's what his ministry was, declare the coming of Jesus, and of course also repentance and baptism. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing it now. So, yeah, we're seeing it now, but it's even going to get stronger when the man-child's anointed in the days ahead. You know as well as I do, when you have a lot of natural disasters, people are normally cry out to God when they're in trouble. When 2001, when 911 happened, people flocked to the churches for a little while. But when they quit going after a while. But when you have, once this thing gets started, it ain't stopping till the end. There's going to be earthquakes, earthquake, 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 and all kinds of other things. Nibiru, Planet X, I don't know. All that stuff is going to happen. Hail, a fire, hailstones coming out of the sky. Everything's happening one right after another. It ain't going to slack off. And the people are going to be crying out to God. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times in those old revivals, it wasn't people that did it. It was God that did it, because there wasn't nobody around those folks. And they just dropped down right in the middle of town and start crying out to God. And I believe that's what's going to happen here, because they see the destruction around them, and they know that, and of course the anointing has fell too. People are going to just cry out to God. It's going to be the greatest revival, the biggest revival that man has ever seen and that God has ever seen, that takes place in the next 7 years. More people are going to be put into the kingdom of God than all the rest of the years combined, according to what some say. And I believe it. I believe it. You get those natural disasters occurring all the time, one right after another, piggyback, tag teaming. It's going to be tough. People be scared. Going to be scared to death of what's happening. The only thing that'll take that scaredness out of it is crying out to God. Well, that's the man-child ministry, I believe. And he will be caught up to the throne two times, according to what I've read. Andrew, go ahead.
I was just wondering if I can read two verses.
Sure.
It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For verily, we that are in the tabernacle groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that the mortal be swallowed up of the life. Now who wroth us for this very thing is God, who gave us the earnest of the Spirit. And I think that these two verses really have a lot to do with what's going to happen there, because it's going to be all controlled through God, and that this man-child ministry is going to come in and the people who press in are going to groan for this to happen to them. And not just the man child, but to press in closer to the Lord. And, you know, this earnest is one of these words I really want to define. And I've got a whole list of stuff here, because it has to do with the Spirit. And of course, the Spirit is quite a bit of stuff. It's like the whole word, you know. And I'm just trying to find a real good definition of it. And it's just amazing. You know, there's another really good verse there in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You know, it talks about the earnest of our inheritance unto redemption of the possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, and it's all like one little piece after another that builds you up when you look at what he wants to give to us and what we want to apprehend. You know, it's more than just comprehension. We need this to be our lives and our living. And it's a real interesting word to try and define from the oracles of God, is this earnest of the Spirit. And I still am trying to figure it out. Anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's a good, where'd you ever find out about the word earnest? What do you think it means? Did you look it up in the Greek or anything?
Well, I don't have that kind of stuff, but I did look it up in the dictionary, and it's serious and intense and zealous, sincere, and of course the best one, deeply convinced, you know, and that's a dictionary. I want the oracles of God. You know, like when you look up the word kingdom, you get a story about Jesus talking to a merchant, you know, and he tells you about the kingdom being within you, you know. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness. There's a lot of places you can find that kingdom, you know, and when something happens, that's a manifestation. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is nigh. You know, and I just like to look up definitions of words, but, you know, they have to be your life. They have to manifest through you. And I find that this earnest one is a real great word, because it's the earnest of the Spirit. It would include that which is the seven spirits in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and all the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding and the fear of the Lord and the strength of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord and, of course, the Spirit of the Lord that comes out of the Father, which is holy and anointed and is given to us and saves us. And that's all his glory, which is associated very closely with his life, you know, because it's right there in John 1. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And that's how you shine. You know, people seen manifestations and dreams of people who shine, and they shine different from the angels. So this is what you're going to look like, I guess. This glory, that's the word of God that's in you, because, you know, Jesus said it's our Father. And that includes you and him. And if Jesus is clothed in a vesture dipped in blood and his name is called the Word of God, then what does that make you? You know, I think it makes you a lot more than we can ever think of and imagine even. That you, if Jesus said our Father and he's clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, then you have to be that too. The name called the Word of God. And we all know what the name is, and it's your nature, character, and authority. And to break it down more, your mind, your will, emotions, your heart. So this is how much the Lord gave us. It's amazing what he gave us. And how it gets manifested in us, I think it has to be done by the Father. On that first verse that I read there, the first two there, that it has to be done through this earnest of the Spirit. He gave us this earnest of the Spirit, it says in another place. And it's just really neat when you try to define something and you see that this is given to you. And it's got to be manifested, just like it says there in Peter there, 4:11, to speak as the oracles of God. But then after that, there's going to be manifestation. It includes that. I can't remember the words exactly there. But that manifestation of Christ in you is exactly that. And he doesn't give the Spirit by measure. So what does that mean? I think we're in for something really wonderful from the Lord. It just boggles my mind to think about it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, it does. It boggles my mind too, because he's going to be unhindered in his people. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome time. That word earnest, I just looked it up. It means a pledge to pay money or pay something. A pledge, earnest, that word in the Greek. Yeah, Leon.
I always liken it unto, let's say you asked a girl to marry you, and she says yes, then you give her a pledge, which would be a ring, an engagement ring. And what you're doing is you're promising her that you're going to give her the fullness of the marriage at some future date. In the relationship with the Lord, you get all the benefits of the Lord except for the manifestation. I mean, you can heal people of sickness. You can heal yourself of sickness. You can do all of the signs and wonders, but you're not truly manifested. But that's the guarantee. That's the definition there. It's the promise to keep the, or it's something that's given to you that shows that he'll keep his promise. So, amen. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Sure, yeah. That's pretty much what that is. It's a promise to go ahead and do what he said he's going to do. That's the Lord in you. So, praise God. Now, we talked about the man-child going to the throne. Does anybody have a suggestion as to what that means? He's going to be caught up to the throne a couple of times. In go ahead, Leon.
Well, I think that would be the man-child's manifestation there, because he's caught up to the throne and given the kingdom, so to speak. He's given what Jesus was given when he was manifested and taken away, when he was caught up to the throne, I should say. But that would be a time when he gets the full manifestation, and then he comes back to help the bride. An empowerment, so to speak. The full manifestation.
Yeah, it's not a physical going to the throne. It's actually, yeah, you're right. It's actually a spiritual thing. It's a right. spiritual happening. And the Lord will anoint the man-child both times. I don't know. I'm not to do the job, so to speak, that he's got right. to do. And that one of them, he'll be listening to the Lord all the time. He'll not, he just like Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? I don't do nothing without the Father telling me what to do. And that's what's going to happen with these man-child ministry. They're going to be doing the same thing. They're going to have the wisdom of Jesus and God. They're going to have the wisdom. They're not only going to have the wisdom, they're going to have the power available to them. Just like everybody else does, but they're going to know they got the power. And it's going to be an awesome time. But the wisdom, I think, is part of the latter rain. I don't know that for a fact, but I just, that's what I just kind of thought in my spirit that that might be, is the wisdom of God upon these people, upon these men, that they're going to be so in tune. Now, you remember what happened to Jesus, man. The disciples walked around scratching their head most of the time when Jesus opened his mouth, because he was speaking well over their heads in the spirit realm. He was speaking in the spirit and they were looking in the natural. That's going to happen a lot with the man-child too, because until people start getting into the spirit and understanding those things. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that gives you access to God's knowledge as well, and that overcoming power too. So the man-child ministry is just going and read the Gospels and read about Jesus, and that's what got these man-child ministries going to be. And now, look, we're going to see these guys, and we're going to see them and say, there ain't no way that guy's going to be a man-child. But don't you know God can do anything? God can make a person who seemingly, you don't know what's going on in his heart. You don't know what's going on in that part of him. And they might say, well, he doesn't know enough about the word, or they don't know enough about this, or blah, blah, blah. Don't you think God can download that stuff? He can do it, man, in a heartbeat. And it's going to be people that you wouldn't think that are going to be in the man-child ministry that's going to be in the man-child ministry. They're going to be loving the Lord. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be somebody he's going to grab off the street now. It's going to be someone who loves the Lord and has dedicated his life to running after the Lord. But it's not going to be, it's going to be a Moses, so to speak. He's going to be a Jacob. He's going to be a Jesus. These unassuming men that come on the scene. That's what they're going to be. And they're going to be the man-child ministry. People unknown to the world. They're going to be known to God's people. You're going to know who they are. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to know immediately who they are. The power of God's going to be all over them. Going to be with them. The wisdom of God, the power of God. All right, anybody else? Any question? Yeah, Willie.
It reminds me of that scripture that says, you know, when David said, I would not that a man should, when, you know, how he had that prophecy, I would not that a man should sit on my throne. You know, it's a wonderful prophecy, you know. And God should be enthroned on the hearts of his people. You know, we shouldn't be ruling in ourselves, you know. Isn't there a psalm that says, you know, that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his saints, something like that? So I kind of look at those men-child as people like that, who understand who's on the throne. You know, who's submitting, you know, their hearts, you know, to allowing Jesus, to put all of their enemies under their feet, you know, just like the Father said, you know, sit thou upon my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And you would think, you know, that's when Jesus, you know, comes, you know, that's Jesus working in his people, you know. And these men, you know, these men, child, as far as I can think about them, are going to be people that are going to be demonstrating what God said, you know, putting the enemy under their feet, you know, seeing Christ on the throne, you know, recognizing him as Lord. I don't know too much about it at all, but I know that, you know, if you bow low to God, you'll get to see his, you know, his grace, his sovereignty. You'll get to see his lordship and his power. You'll get to see, you know, the love, you know, that he has for our lives, you know. We're looking for, you know, the power of God. You know, let him be enthroned upon your heart. You know, let him be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, let him sit there and dictate to you, you know, what he wants you to do for that day. You know, we like to think that it's going to be brutal. Oh, God, no. You know, but it's going to be full of grace. It's going to be full of power. It's going to be full of love. It's going to be full of deliverance. You know, it's going to be full, you know, of the understanding of the wisdom of God. It's going to be such power, you know, that any imagination, anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, you know, will have to bow down and worship him. Even us, you know, where we, you know, in our imagination, you know, set ourselves to be equal with the knowledge of God. And it's a sad thing, you know, because I think that sometimes, you know, you get that puffed up mind. You know, I'm really learning, you know, this sovereignty thing. You know, in order to enter into it, it takes humility. I'm just sharing what I'm learning, you know, and that's just what came to my mind about these men. They're going to be such humble people. They're going to be such humble people, such loving people. They're going to make Pentecost look like Pentecost. They won't care what race you are, what nationality you are, what language you speak. You know, their preaching and their teaching is going to supersede all color. It's going to manifest the love of Christ on all levels. You know, they're going to be saying, you know, what God has made clean, you know, don't call unclean, because people are going to speak against what they're doing. You know, but you know what? God is going to bear witness to them in power, you know. And it is, you know, what is that one scripture that says, it's about the Holy Spirit and the children of God. I know you quote it all the time, and I can't remember I cannot remember.
But which one was that?
It's about the Holy Spirit and, you know, the children of God. Something about an agreement or a witness, you know.
Well, I don't remember.
I cannot remember. But, hey, that's all I got to say. That's, you know, the Spirit stopped me there. Praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm typing it in here. And God, who knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. Is that the one? That ain't it, is it? But you're right. The man-child ministry is going to be, they're going to have, I was looking up here just a minute ago. Here's the grace that Jesus had. This is the love that Jesus displayed in front of all of those apostate people. And that's in John chapter 8. I was reading that yesterday. Starting John chapter 8, verse 2. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees bring a woman taken in adultery, and having set her in the midst. And they say unto him, Teacher, this woman hath been taken in adultery in the very act. Now in the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such. What then sayest thou of her? And this they said, trying him, that they might have whereof to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. I don't have a clue what he wrote. Does anybody know what he wrote? And they, when they heard it, went out one by one, beginning from the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman where she was in the midst. And now here's the grace that God showed her. And Jesus lifted up himself and said unto whom? Unto her, Woman, where are they? Did no man condemn thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. From henceforth, sin no more. That's a bunch of grace right there. When the law told them to go ahead and stone that woman, and I don't know how many others they had stoned. Where's the man at? That's what I'm wanting to know, you know. That's what you women are asking right now. Well, it ain't your business where the man is. I'm just messing with you. The woman, though, what was so much grace? So much grace that he showed. Does anybody have a clue what he wrote in the sand?
I would think it to be the two greatest commandments. That's what I usually tell people. I'm like, if you want to have an idea of God's mercy and why he did it twice, I would take the two commandments.
I believe with you, brother. I never thought about that. That's good. That's good. Yeah, Dave.
You ever hear where they say it was, because you see the oldest and the youngest left. It went first to the oldest, and then it went down to the youngest person there. And I heard it was like Jesus was writing out all their. Now this doesn't. This is somebody's saying this, whether or not this is true or not. Is Jesus writing out each individual sin for every man that was there, and that man saw his sin written down, and then he said, "Oh, I can't. How can I judge her for?" Something that I'm getting judged here also. I got the sin laid out in front of me. This man knows. And he left. But that was just somebody else said that, I heard.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I like Willie's better. Because he's using the Word of God, you know. He's using the Word of God. Love your neighbor as yourself, you know. Love the Lord with all your strength, your might, and all of that. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I can say this. When he said that the one without sin throw the first stone, I'm sure that got their attention pretty good because every one of them had been sinning. They were sinning from day one because they was out there trying to kill Jesus to begin with. Yeah, Dave.
Whenever he had any converts that day, man, one of those men got...
He had one.
Looked their lives over a little bit.
He had one.
Oh, she was just amazing, sure, you know.
Amen. Yeah. He had one.
She was very humble. That whole time she was just very humble, the whole thing. You could see it, you know. She wasn't looking up. She wasn't trying to be somebody.
Yeah. She was very humble. She knew she was in trouble. And then to get that grace on her. It humbled her that much more to get that grace. Praise God. And that's what you're going to see out of the man-child ministry, is that type of love. When you know, people are sinning, they're going to forgive them. Without any, you know, preaching to them. That's what Jesus did. He said, go and sin no more. Just go on off. Go sin no more. Get in the Word.
There was repentance. There was repentance. There was genuine repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm saying we don't give up grace. That's not what I'm trying to, I'm not trying to withhold grace. But.
Well, just think about it. What do the preachers tend to do? I can tell you, being in the prison ministry, what they tend to do. They want to condemn everybody. They want to condemn the sin, and they want to condemn the sinner until they're beat down so much that they can't, ain't no way they can have any faith. But these guys, these man-child ministries, going to have that love that Jesus had, that Willie was talking about. They're going to love without measure. They're gonna have the love of God. And how many of you know God's got some love, man? He got some love to spread out too. And he don't mind doing it to people who love him. He don't mind spreading that love out. But we're gonna see that in the days ahead, and that's gonna bring a lot of people to Jesus, because they're gonna see true Christian. Not just somebody that talks it, but somebody that walks it as well. And they're going to back up what they say with signs and wonders. Amen. All right, anybody else on the man-child ministry? I asked David, I said, that being caught up to the throne, I said, what's going to happen at the center of tribulation when his job's through? He just grinned at me real big. I said, what does that mean? Give me a big old grin like that. What does that mean? Oh, that's going to be good. It's going to be so good. I said, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? I never could get a straight answer out of it. I'm going to try it one of these days. But anyway, the man child is going to be awesome. Go ahead, Dave.
Ah, I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
I got listening.
Yeah. You know, what I always, when I get to thinking about Jesus, I have to go back to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you know, where the Beatitudes are and all of the attributes of Christ and that. And it just brings it out. And then, of course, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and that even explains it even more so. And all the rest of the little love things that you find in there, the grace things that they talk about Jesus. And it's just amazing the type of man that he was. And that's what we're striving to be. That's what he wants us to strive to be, is just like Jesus, walking just like he is. I can't imagine it, but I'm sure believing it. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
What came to my mind when you said you asked David about, you know, what about mid-trib, you know? What's the man-child going to be doing then? Well, isn't it the two witnesses that speak the judgments and stuff, or is it the man-child too? My first thought was, is the man-child is going to be speaking judgments left and right.
Yeah, the man-child is. But if you remember what I said earlier, there's going to be a second fruits man-child, David says, that will incorporate the two witnesses, which will also be speaking judgments too. And they're not going to be touched for at least 3.5 years, right? Or at least until their ministry's gone.
Yeah, it's like the two witnesses are kind of, I'm kind of glad we came back around to this, because Because what I was thinking about, you know, David always has always said that the first 3.5 is the gospel. You know, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is the gospels, and the second 3.5 is Acts. Well, in Acts, Jesus sent his disciples out, you know, the Great Commission, and those are the two witnesses in Acts, or the second, you could say the second first fruits or whatever. And all the disciples were martyred except for John, at least the original 12, you know. And so that goes along with the idea that the two witnesses are going to be martyred too, you know. This is just stuff that was, I was thinking.
Well, that's why I asked him, where is the man-child going at the tribulation? Because at the center of tribulation, because he, like he said, the first 3.5 years is the gospel. The second 3.5 years is in Acts, Lord told him. Well, in Acts, where's Jesus?
He's up in heaven, isn't he? He's on the throne.
Come on now. Talk to me.
When you were saying that, I was like thinking, I'm like getting this red light. Light's going on, actually.
Well, that's why he grinned real big, you know.
He was ascended. He not just was resurrected, but he ascended to the throne and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Yep. So I'm thinking out loud here. Okay, is the man child actually going to be literally taken off this earth?
I think Dave's got an answer here. Let's see.
Doesn't the two witnesses, when they come back alive, they're raised up in front of everybody and they ascend into heaven?
Well, yeah. It was after 3 days.
Yeah.
They were raised up. That was the witnesses. But the man-child is representing Jesus on earth, right?
Yeah, but your witnesses are also representing Jesus. And the man-child can be part of the witnesses. And we have to also consider, everybody's looking at the first 12 disciples, but how many disciples were there in the New Testament?
Oh, that was quite a number of them. Go ahead, Andrew.
How many apostles were there in the New Testament?
That's quite a number of them. Yeah. There was 12 original apostles. Go ahead, Andrew.
You still got more apostles.
What happened to Jesus after the cross? Who saw him? For
a bunch of folks.
How many days did they see him?
40 days.
So what's going to happen with the man child? If martyred even.
Well, the man child.
Martyred even.
The man child. I don't think the man child is going to be martyred.
Well, if there's anyone there who would be killed, like some of the apostles were in the book of Acts there, I don't think they're going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't they just come back like Jesus came back? If Jesus rose from the dead, and you know you're going to be that way, and if this person is even tried to be killed, didn't some of those apostles, weren't they left for dead in the book of Acts? So I'm just kind of wondering if some of these people are going to come back to life and show themselves again.
Well, if you remember what happened at the crucifixion, when Jesus died, how many of them came up out of the grave?
Exactly, two,
From how far back, it doesn't say. It doesn't say how many came out of the grave. It just says people came out the grave and walked around Jerusalem.
Were some of those prophets that probably came out too, and they were representations of a man-child back then.
Well, it could be, yeah.
So,
you got to look at it all, don't you?
Yeah, that's true.
I think though, if we look at it in the natural, we might. But it's all. We're in a new covenant. Everything's got to be spiritual, right? We it's a type and a shadow of what's fixing to happen. And I don't know when we say caught up to the throne, it's not the same as going up to the throne of Jesus physically. It's listening to the Lord from the throne. It's what I'm thinking. And I believe that's what David teaches in Hidden Manna, that the man child does. But anyway, go ahead, Willie.
Sorry. Christ was caught up to the throne. He said to Philip, "Believest thou me? Because I said I saw thee. Because I said I saw thee under the fig tree." He said, "After this day, you shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, that's not what people call Shekinah glory. That's being caught up to the throne. You know, hearing directly from the Father. I mean, such manifestations of the work of God. You know, I never looked at that as, you know, Jesus being caught up to the throne. I would always look at, you know, maybe the transfiguration or maybe after his resurrection. But if we want to look for a testimony of these man-child, you know, being caught up to the throne, you know, I think that's a really good explanation. If I'm wrong, just let me know.
Are you talking about a physical going
no,
up to the throne? Oh, okay. Yeah.
As of when the angels were ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Yep, could be. Also, if you remember the, Well, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I had it before you was talking, and then I lost it. It'll come back. I got a mind like a steel trap. Anybody else want to say anything about the man-child? And this caught up to the throne is really intriguing to me. Because in the middle of the tribulation, if it is like the book of Acts and the book of and the Gospels, then you don't see Jesus but one other time, you know, when he went out there and ministered to the apostles. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I guess, you know, caught up to the throne, if you look at John in the book of Revelation, and he also Paul were caught up to the throne, and they didn't leave the earth, but they had they were brought in the spirit up to the throne. So that very well could be what's going to happen also. They're going to be taken into the spirit up to the throne of God, and you know, they're going to be whatever they need to be part of there, whatever they're being brought up there for will be done at that time. Be just something else I could think that might be.
Mm-hmm. All right, Missy.
Something just came to me.
I'm surprised.
When the Lord I'm just wondering, you know, we're talking about this, what's going to happen to the man child? Well, he ascended to the Father, which means he no longer had a physical body anymore. He only had a spiritual body. And I'm just wondering
he had a body.
Well,
he had a glorified body.
Yeah.
His body was not there in the tomb, was it?
Right.
Okay.
But at the same time, though, so the Lord is in the heavens and he still has a physical body? I mean, he's sitting there the right hand of the Father, he has a physical body, or is it a spiritual body?
Because you remember
he was embraced. He was embraced.
You remember what he told Thomas? He said, put your hand in my wound here, boy.
Right. But that was before he ascended. That's before he ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. So does he still have a physical body?
I think so.
Okay. Just thinking out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay. That's fine. That's what, you know, that's why we talk these things out. Try to, go ahead, Dave.
He's the first fruit.
Yeah.
He's got to have a manifested body.
That's right.
His fullness. And you also remember, I can't remember who it was, Mary, she tried to embrace him before he went up, and she says, don't touch me yet, I haven't gone up to see the Father, when he just got out of the tomb. So, but she did touch him.
Okay. So, well, then,
when he came back, he was a full-bodied guy, just had holes in him.
Yeah. So he had a glorified body, so then maybe the man-child will get his glorified body.
Bingo. I believe that's what is going to happen. I don't know that, you know. I that's just my thinking, you know. I was hoping somebody come up with that.
Well, he'd have to die to do that, right?
Did Enoch?
Yeah, but Enoch probably still has to have nothing that says he hasn't had a glorified body yet, right?
Well, it doesn't say that.
Did he get a glorified body before Jesus?
He said there's no flesh in heaven, right? So I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know. I wondered about
Elijah.
I wondered about Enoch myself, but I thought, well, I can't imagine he would go before Jesus to get a glorified body, but I don't know.
I don't either. Has anybody got any ideas on that? We can look, we're about out of time. Let's go ahead and if y'all want to talk about this again, we'll talk about it again Thursday night and get into that, unless somebody has something else they want to talk about. Let's talk about end time stuff again. We'll talk about it, Brian.
See if we can stump David on that one.
I'll ask him. I'm going to go down and ask him. What happened to the man child? That in between the 7 year, the 3.5 to 3.5 year, where does he go?
Did Enoch get his glorified body before Jesus?
Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't say that, does it? Okay, anybody got any prayer requests before we bail out of here? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you again for helping us out, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us all wisdom, Lord, and let us search the scriptures out in the next couple of days, Lord, and give us some firsthand knowledge, Lord, of what's going to take place. You know, we probably don't need to know it, but it's fun to search it out and try to see by types and shadows, Lord, what is going to happen. I know it's in that word somewhere. We just have to search it out. And might just get down there and ask David, and he'll tell us, Lord, maybe that'll happen too. Lord, I just thank you for tonight's anointing. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters, and I ask for your protection upon them and a good night's sleep the next couple of nights in Jesus' name. Bless our day tomorrow with nothing but you, Lord. Bless it with your leading, and Lord, set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. Praise God. You want to know something? I praise God every day for y'all. I do. I just love coming on here. It's awesome.
Yeah.